The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 60, text number 37, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 2nd, 2013, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nishkinchana Nanu Bhavan Na Yata Asti Kinchit Yasmai Balim Bali Buja Api Haranti Aja Adya Na Tva Vedanti Asutripa Antakam Adyata Andha Preshta Vavam Balibhujam Api Te Api Tuvyam Niskinchano nanu bhavan na yatos te kinchid. Yes, my balim balibu jo pipa rant ya jaja. Natva vedan yusutri ponta tamad yaitanta. Preshto bhavan balibhujam apite pituvyam.
Preshto bhavan balibhujam
Nishkinchano nanu bhavan na yatosti kinchid.
Nishkinchano nanu bhavan na yatosti kinchid.
Yas mai balim balibhujo piparant yajajya.
Yas mai balim
Natva vedan yashuja ponta tamad yatanta. Preshto bhavan balibhujam apite pituvyam.
Preshto bhavan balibhujam apite pituvyam.
Nishkinchana.
Without possessions.
Nanu. Indeed. Bhavan. You. Na. Not. Yata. Beyond whom. Asti. There is. Kinchit. Anything. Yes, my. To whom. Balim. Tribute. Bali. Of tribute. Buja. The enjoyers. Api. Even. Haranti. Carry. Adya. Adya. Headed by Brahma. Na. Not. Tva. You. Vedanti. No. Ashutripa. Persons satisfied in the body. Antakam. As death. Adyata. By their status of wealth. Andha. Blinded. Preshta. The most dear. Bhavan, you. Balibhujam, for the great enjoyers of tribute. Api, even. Te, they. Api, also. Tubhyam, are dear to you. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. You possess nothing because there is nothing beyond you. Even the great enjoyers of tribute, Brahma and other demigods, pay tribute to you. Those who are blinded by their wealth and absorbed in gratifying their senses do not recognize you in the form of death. But to the gods, the enjoyers of tribute, you are the most dear, as they are to you. Purport. Here Srimati Rukmini Devi replies to Lord Krishna's statement in text 14, Dishkinchana Vayang Shashvan Dishkinchana Jana Priya Tasmad Brayenana Hyadya Mang Bhajanti Sumajyame. We have no material possessions, and we are dear to those who similarly have nothing. Therefore, O slender one, the wealthy hardly ever worship me. Queen Rukmini begins her statement by saying, Niskinchana Nanu. You are indeed Niskinchana. The word Kinchana means something, and the prefix near, or as it appears here, Nish, indicates negation. Thus, in the ordinary sense, Niskinchanana means one who does not have something, or in other words, one who has nothing. But in the present verse, Queen Rukmini states that Lord Krishna possesses nothing not because he is a pauper, but because he himself is everything. In other words, since Krishna is the absolute truth, all that exists is within him. There is no second thing, something outside the Lord's existence for him to possess. For example, a man may possess a house or a car or a child of money, but these things do not become the man, they exist outside of him. We say he possesses them merely in the sense that he has control over them. But the Lord does not merely control his creation, his creation actually exists within him. Thus, there is nothing outside of him that he can possess in the way that we possess external objects. The Acharyas explain this Kinshana in the following way. To state that a person possesses something implies that he does not possess everything. In other words, if we say that a man owns some property, we imply that he does not own all property, but rather some specific property. A standard American dictionary defines the word some as a certain indefinite or unspecified number, quantity, etc., is distinguished from the rest. The Sanskrit word kinshana conveys this sense of a partial amount of the total. Thus, Lord Krishna is sometimes called niskinshana to refute the idea that he possesses merely a certain amount of beauty, fame, wealth, intelligence, and other opulences. Rather, he possesses infinite beauty, infinite intelligence, infinite wealth, and so on. This is so because he is the absolute truth. Srila Prabhupada begins his introduction to the first canto, volume 1 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, with the following statement, which is quite relevant to our present discussion. Quote, the conception of God and the conception of the Absolute Truth are not on the same level. The Srimad Bhagavatam hits on the target of the Absolute Truth. The conception of God indicates the controller, whereas the conception of the Absolute Truth indicates the summum bonum, or the ultimate source of all energies. Here, Srila Prabhupada touches upon a fundamental philosophical point. God is commonly defined as the Supreme Being, and the dictionary defines supreme as 1. Highest in rank, power, authority, etc. 2. Highest in quality, achievement, performance, etc. 3. Highest in degree, and 4. Final, ultimate. None of these definitions adequately indicates absolute existence. For example, we may say that a particular American is supremely wealthy in the sense that he is wealthier than any other American, or we may speak of the Supreme Court as the highest court in the land, although it certainly does not have absolute authority in all political and social matters, since it shares authority in these fields with the legislature and the president. In other words, the word supreme indicates the best in a hierarchy, and thus the Supreme Being may merely be understood as the best or greatest of all beings, but not as the very source of all other beings and indeed of everything that exists. Thus, Srila Prabhupada specifically points out that the concept of the Absolute Truth, Krishna, is higher than the concept of Supreme Being, and this point is essential to a clear understanding of Vaishnava philosophy. Lord Krishna is not merely a supreme being, he is the absolute being. And this is exactly the point his wife is making. Thus the word Niskinchana indicates not that Krishna possesses no opulence, but rather all opulence. In that sense, she accepts his definition of himself as Niskinchana. In text 14, Lord Krishna also stated, Niskinchana Janapriya, I am dear to those who have nothing. Here, however, Queen Rukmini points out that the demigods, the wealthiest souls in the universe, regularly make offerings to the Supreme Lord. We may assume that the demigods, being the Lord's appointed representatives, know that everything belongs to him in the sense that everything is part of him, as explained above. Therefore, the statement Niskinchana Janapriya is correct in the sense that since nothing exists except for the Lord and his potencies, no matter how wealthy the Lord's worshippers appear to be, they are in fact offering him nothing but his own energy as a loving act. The same idea is exemplified when one worships the Ganges River by offering Ganges water, or when a child gets money from his father on the father's birthday and buys him a gift. The father is paying for his own present, but what he is really interested in is his child's love. Similarly, the Supreme Lord manifests the cosmos, and then the conditioned souls collect various items of the Lord's creation. Pious souls offer some of the best items from their collection back to the Lord as sacrifice and thus purify themselves. Since the whole cosmos and everything in it simply is the Lord's energy, we may say that those who worship the Lord possess nothing. In more conventional terms, people who are proud of their great wealth do not bow down to God. Queen Rukmini also mentioned these fools. Satisfied with their temporary bodies, they do not understand the divine power of death which stalks them. The demigods, however, who are by far the wealthiest living beings, regularly offer sacrifice to the Supreme Lord, and thus the Lord is most dear to them, as stated here. Very interesting the way this word, Niskinchana, has been analyzed here. Very interesting. And Krishna possesses nothing because there's nothing outside of himself. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita also. Ekopyaso racharitam jagananda kotim yatshaktirasti jagananda chaya yadanta Andantarasta paramano chayantarastam govindamadi purusham tam mahamajami. Brahmaji says, you are an undifferentiated entity because there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. You see? So actually, Krishna doesn't own anything because everything is Krishna. For us, we're not everything, so we may say, well, I own this watch or I own this dhoti. But Krishna, everything that you might say that he possesses, actually it's already him. It's he himself. Because it's nothing but his own energy. So in this sense, Krishna, even though Krishna possesses everything, actually he possesses nothing, because everything is he himself. Not in the Mayavadi sense. But the Vaishnavas also have a sense that Krishna is everything, because everything is his energy. Everything that exists is Krishna's expanded energy. It's like here we see the sunshine here on the floor. You see the sunshine here, you see? That is the sun. The sunshine and the sun, they are one. And yet there is a distinction. You see, the sunshine is the expanded energy of the sun. The sun can emanate sunshine, but sunshine cannot emanate the sun. So there is a distinction. The emanated energy is nothing but Krishna himself, but yet only Krishna can emanate the energy. The energy cannot emanate Krishna. So it's very interesting to see how much this word has been analyzed in this purport, this kinshana, one who possesses nothing. And it's also significant in terms of the devotees as well. We have, what do we have that actually we claim as our property? You see? We have nothing we can claim that is our property. This is the meditation of the sannyasi, you see. That nothing is mine. Especially sannyasi ashram is meant for this meditation. That I have nothing. So this is the understanding. Even if one is a wealthy householder, he should think, I possess nothing. Because everything I have is actually the property of Krishna. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Bhagavad Gita, 529. You see. Krishna says, everything belongs to me. So if you think that something belongs to you, you're a thief. You're a rascal. You see, that is our understanding, you see. If I think that something is my property, then I'm a cheater, I'm a rascal. Because everything is the property of the Supreme. So Krishna possesses nothing, I mean, by possessing everything, by everything being Krishna himself, you see. And we possess nothing because everything is Krishna's property. So if you want to become Krishna conscious, you must come to this niskinchana consciousness. Nothing belongs to me. You see? Nirmama. Nothing is mine. Nirmama. You see? Unfortunately, there is one thing that we do actually possess. Do you know what that is? The false conception that I am the owner. That is the one thing we possess. Ahankar. You see? The only thing that we truly possess is the false conception that I possess something. So this possession we must give up, that I am the proprietor, that I am the owner, you see. This we must give up. But we're stubbornly holding on to this false conception that I am the owner. This is my wife, this is my husband, these are my kids, this is my money, this is my house, my car, You see, we have to get free from this false conception of being the owner. What did you bring into the world with you? Nothing. What will you take with you when you leave your body? Nothing. But in the middle I come and say, my property. Even little children have this mentality from the very beginning. One little boy, he has his toys, yes. The neighbor boy comes from the house next door, and the first boy says, the other boy looks at his toy, he wants to play with it, and he says, mine! You see? This false conception of ownership begins from the very childhood.
It is the contamination that has brought us to this material existence. We were envious of Krishna being the possessor of everything. Why? I want to be the possessor. You see, Krishna is the supreme possessor. We were envious of his position as the supreme possessor. We wanted to be possessors. So Krishna said, all right, I'll give you a world where you think you're the possessor. Therefore, even little children showed this mentality of false possession in the very beginning. Mine, my fire truck, you cannot touch it, it's my fire truck. I remember even me and my little brother, my brother Bob, we were sharing one room, you see. And we made a line down the middle of the room. This is my half of the room, this is your half of the room. And you cannot step over the line. My half of the room was away from the door, so I was allowed to pass through Bob's part of the room to enter my part of the room. But other than that, I couldn't go beyond, just like the Berlin, you know, West Berlin. They had a road through East Germany to get to West Berlin, but they couldn't go beyond that road. So it was just like that in my childhood days. My brother Bob and I, you know, I couldn't step over the line except to cross out of the room. For any other purpose, I couldn't even go one inch over that line because that was Bob's half of the room, you see. So this mentality is there, you see. Nation and nation. This is Mauritius. You cannot touch here, you see. Where is your passport? Where is your visa, you see. Of course, here they... Passport they get. They want to know. You come here, they want to know, where is your ticket out of here? This time I knew to have it ready. In the past I would say, oh yeah, and I have to dig it out. This time I'm going to get through customs quickly, so I know I have to have my ticket out of here to show I don't plan on staying in your country. You're not welcome to stay here. In other words, they're letting us, even if it says welcome to Mauritius on the sign, you're not actually welcome here. You're not really welcome. You can come for a little bit and then get out. You see? You're not welcome to stay. It's really contradictory. It says, welcome to Mauritius, and then it says, then they want to see you. How soon are you leaving? What's your proof that you're leaving this place? And how soon are you leaving? You see? What sort of hospitality is that? You see? You come to visit me in my house, they say, well, how soon are you leaving? Welcome to my home, and how soon are you leaving? I mean, this is the so-called mentality, you see. Lord, we traveling preachers, we experience this when we go traveling, isn't it, my friend? How they're this mentality, they're just like dogs, you know, barking dogs. Roof, 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 where's your passport? Prabhupada said, you know. It's such a mentality, that modern-day civilization, you see. So... This philosophy, this Kinjana is very, very important philosophy. To understand that actually I possess nothing, everything is God's property. And engage everything in His service, you see. That's how we can become happy. So if there's any questions yet? I see someone writing back there. Here's some questions, okay. All right. If Krishna is the possessor of all opulences, then why do temples struggle to maintain themselves or to build a temple for Krishna? Actually, Krishna can give us millions of... What do you have here? Rupees? Mauritian rupees, yes. He'd give you millions and billions of Mauritian rupees immediately. But he makes us go through these struggles for our purification because we're still thinking that I'm the proprietor, I'm the owner. This is to purify us from our contaminated hearts. That's why we have to struggle to raise money, you see. Because we think I'm the owner, so Krishna has to teach us. He has to purify us by the yajna we go through to raise funds to build a temple. That's his kindness. Rukmini is the first expansion of Srimati Radharani. Who are the second, third, and fourth expansions? I don't remember. Is it right to help a devotee who has had an accidental fall down? Not only is it right, you must help a devotee who has an accidental fall down. It's our duty. It's not that it's only right. How could you even wonder whether it's right or wrong? You absolutely must be kind to find a devotee. Just like you're walking down the road with a group of people and somebody trips and falls. You say, well, is it right to help him up? What do you think? Is it right? Should I help him up or just leave him laying there on the ground? I mean, how can you even ask if it's right or wrong to help a devotee who fell down? It's our duty. We must help them. This shouldn't have to be asked. Of course, the second half is better. If he's so pleased, give some practical means how to help that person. Of course it's the right thing. You have to do it. And then how do you help the person? Well, you have to be very kind to them. You have to hear from them. What is the difficulty? Prabhupada would always say, what is the difficulty? You have to be very sensitive and caring and loving. What is the problem, Prabhu? Why are you having the difficulty? Can I help you? Open your heart up. See if what you can do to help the person. Hear what they have to say. Let them reveal their heart to you so you know what the difficulty was. You have to fully understand what is their difficulty, and then Krishna will give you the intelligence how to help them. How do we identify a serious devotee? A serious devotee rises early in the morning. He doesn't sleep past the sunrise. That's one thing. Someone who is serious gets up early every morning. Someone who sleeps late, they're not very serious. A serious devotee rises early. He's very eager to hear about Krishna. He's very eager to talk about Krishna. He's very eager to preach to the non-devotees. He's very eager to distribute Prabhupada's books. He's very eager to go on Harinams and Kirtan. He's very eager to serve the deities. He's very eager to clean the temple. He's very eager to do any service required to make this movement a success. He's very eager to read Prabhupada's books as much as possible, 24 hours a day. These are some of the signs of a serious devotee. What does it mean by Shiva is in charge of the mode of ignorance? That means it's conducted under his direction. Onion, garlic, and mushrooms are the items that devotees avoid. Can you tell us why? Well, onions and garlic stink. They have a bad odor, a very foul odor, actually. They're stinky foods. Would you offer something stinky to Krishna? Something that smells bad? I mean, what kind of nonsense that would be? This is confirmed in the Manusmriti. It is stated directly in the Manusmriti that onions and garlic are not suitable for eating. So those who eat onions and garlic, they are defying the Vedic injunctions for some kind of tamasic sense enjoyment. Mushrooms are generally avoided because they're grown in a filthy place, Prabhupada says. Just like mushrooms grow in stool, for example. What can you say about punctuality when it comes to doing devotional service? It's very important to be on time. When you work a job, don't you have to be on time at the office every day? If you're not punctual, after a while, what happens? They call you in for a meeting, isn't it? So do you think your job is more important than devotional service? Your karmic job is more important than devotional service to Krishna? Well, I must be on time for my job, but for class, for RT, I'll be late because Krishna understands. I mean, he's my father, you know, he understands. That means you're giving more importance to your karmic job than you are to devotional service. What will you have in your heart at the time of death if you cultivate that kind of mentality? You'll have fruitive enjoyment in your heart at the time of death if you cultivate that sort of mentality. You should be more punctual for Krishna than you are for your karmic job. Is a 30-year imprisonment equal to the death penalty? No. 30 years imprisonment is not equal to the death penalty. In the Vedic culture, if one commits murder, he is put to death. Because then he gets relief from the karma of having murdered someone. And then he can start off with a clean slate in his next life. If you put the murderer in prison, he's living in the constant shadow of knowing the karma of murdering someone is you must be murdered. So that karma is hanging over him throughout his whole life, and in his next life he'll be murdered by someone. You see? He'll finally pay in his next life. Why not be kind upon the murderer? Let him get his karma finished now. You see? So he's clean slate. He can start off fresh in his next life. Some ISKCON gurus accept many disciples, but some only accept a few. Why is this difference? Prabhupada one time said, if you stay in one place, you can accept a few disciples. And if you travel all over the world, one should accept unlimited disciples. It really depends. I mean, it's not every guru is different. You'd have to ask each particular guru. I mean, I can't speak on behalf of my guru godbrothers. You have to ask them. I can't speak on why they accept a few or many disciples. You'd have to ask them. As far as myself goes, I'm willing to accept anybody who's sincere about serving, about becoming a Pakka follower of Prabhupada. I'm willing to do that. I don't put any limit. If Gaudiya Math gurus give initiation, if we chant only 4 rounds daily, why do they differ from ISKCON? Prabhupada asked all the Gaudiya Math godbrothers to join ISKCON and work under the GBC, but they didn't do it. He invited all of them to join, you be part of our movement, come on. We all work together under the GBC. They said, no, we don't want to work under you. We'll do our own thing, you see. The thing is, only Srila Prabhupada inherited the full potency of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. The other Gaudiya Math devotees, they did not inherit that full Shakti of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati for making the whole world Krishna conscious. Prabhupada's potency far exceeded even all of his other godbrothers put together. That's a fact. So I've seen even one Gaudiya Math guru became very popular. He's now departed, but he became very famous and popular. He was so critical of ISKCON. He said they can't give bhakti, all they do is collect money. He criticized ISKCON. He said He said, any one of those ISKCON devotees, any of the ISKCON devotees who are actually sincere about Krishna consciousness, they will leave ISKCON and they will come to me. You see? That's what he said. That's how offensive he was. He said, any ISKCON devotee who is sincere, he will leave ISKCON and he will come to me. That means he's saying, these ISKCON devotees, I want them to disobey Prabhupada. Can you imagine the audacity of this person? He's telling us that we should disobey Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, never leave ISKCON. He's telling us, leave ISKCON and join me. You call that Krishna consciousness? He's telling us to disobey Prabhupada, the most empowered acharya in the history of the world. These people are envious, that's all. They're envious of Prabhupada's success. They couldn't do what Prabhupada did, so they want to try to steal from Prabhupada, that's all. You see? That one got me a little angry, that question. A little spiritual anger there. Maya Devi, Yamaraj, and demigods are pure devotees of the Lord. What is the difference between a pure devotee and a devotee? Actually, in the highest sense, devotee means pure devotee. Unless you're a pure devotee, you're not really a devotee. But sometimes we call them devotees to encourage them to become actually devotees. Lord Chaitanya said, actually, I am not a devotee. If I was actually a devotee, I would die immediately in Krishna's separation. Because I do not die immediately in the separation of Krishna, this proves that I am not a devotee. So if Lord Chaitanya can say, I am not a devotee, what is our position? So actually to be a devotee means to be a pure devotee. Now we're aspiring devotees. We're aspiring to be devotees. Devotee means one who is devoted to Krishna. He's not devoted to his senses. He's not devoted to Maya, you see. He's truly 100% devoted to Krishna. That's a devotee. So we can pray for that day. We can actually become devotees. Krishna, please bless me. I can actually become a devotee, you see. These are not relevant questions to the subject of the Bhagavatam. That's not a question. It's a comment. They are all on the transcendental subject matter. But it's not. It's good if we can focus on the subtopic also. Those that I can read get prioritized. The handwriting is a little unclear. They put them on the bottom of the pile. It is said that we should not become father or head of a family if we cannot lead them back to Godhead. Krishna, being the absolute controller, emanates us from him, and he could not inspire us to stay back in his kingdom. Not that he forced us to stay back. How can we not become father or mother, original father, not inspire us to stay back before landing us in this material world? So the question is, Krishna didn't make us Krishna conscious, so how he had the right to emanate us from himself? Krishna didn't follow, they're saying, or asking, did Krishna disobey the Vedic injunction by manifesting us from himself when he couldn't make us Krishna conscious? But I can guarantee you Krishna will make us Krishna conscious. That's why he has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver all living entities. That's why he has sent Srila Prabhupada and other great preachers. Krishna will make us Krishna conscious, I guarantee you. In due course of time, every single jiva has fallen into this material existence will go back to Godhead. Of course, some new ones will take their place, falling from the spiritual world. every single living entity. It is confirmed in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the destiny of every single living entity is to go back to Godhead. So Krishna will not fail in his duty as the Supreme Father of all living entities. Do not think that Krishna disobeyed his own teachings by emanating those from him who fell away from him. Therefore, he was not a competent Supreme Father. Do not think this way. Because Krishna will, in fact, bring us all back to him. Some Matajis left ISKCON and joined the Gaudiya Math because they felt uncared for in ISKCON, or they were not allowed to express their full potential as preachers. Please comment. They're stupid to leave ISKCON, to go somewhere, to give up the shelter of Prabhupada and go somewhere where people are offending, committing offenses against Srila Prabhupada. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. If they are having difficulty, they're feeling squelched, then they should explain their situation, their feelings to their authority, to their temple president, to their GBC, to their guru or other senior preachers. They should explain the difficulty. Because in ISKCON, our policy is that men and women are equally recognized as preachers. That is our official policy here, given by Prabhupada. These brothers and sisters, they are both equally good preachers. So our philosophy is to give full facility to everyone, male and female, to be a devotee and to be a preacher. So if you're having difficulty, Matajis, you're not feeling facilitated as a preacher, please let your authorities know. And senior devotees know, so we can get you out on book distribution as soon as possible, where you can really preach up a storm. Take the books and go out. Everyone has full facility to be a preacher, to be a guru. Go out and do Namahat preaching. There's so much facility. I was just in Suriname yesterday, this wonderful program by Nitya Kashari Mataji. She's a powerful preacher. She has this whole group of people. She's the guru, practically, of Suriname. Engages this whole huge congregation. She's the preacher. There's nothing holding her back because of a woman's body. It's just a matter of desire, you see. If you have the desire to preach, Krishna will give, doesn't matter, man, woman, white, black, Indian, American, short, tall, old, young, it doesn't matter. If you have the desire to preach, Krishna facilitate you. Don't say, well, it's because the authorities are not allowing me. No. You simply have to have that desire to be a preacher, and Krishna will give you all facility. Jare geta tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara gaya guru hoyutade edesh. The order of Gauranga is there. You must preach. You become the guru of your neighborhood and deliver them. You see? Yesterday you were talking about sense gratification. The question is, should we... Is this your handwriting? Whose handwriting? You need to learn how to print. Should we something the body or not?
My question is, yesterday was talking about sense gratification. So, we should should we live on the body or talking about sense gratification?
You're talking too softly. You're talking to a deaf man. I can't hear what you're saying. Should we like the body? Is that what you said?
Live on the body or the soul?
What's he saying?
Live.
Who can speak like a radio announcer here? Who heard the question? Who can speak like a radio announcer that I can hear?
We can't even hear. With the good ears, we are not able to hear what he's saying.
Yeah. Why, can you write it again? And then this time, print it. Your handwriting, make it just straight, like block letters, like you fill out a passport. I like a customs form. Yeah, because I can't read your handwriting. Everybody else I can read, but your handwriting I cannot read. Make it so I can read it. Yeah. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare. Oh, okay, should we live? Okay. The question is, should we live as the body or soul? You cannot live as your body because the body is dead matter. Just like that, I see you have a pink sweatshirt, you see. If I tell you now, I want you to be that pink sweatshirt. Could you do that? Now you must be a good sweatshirt, pink sweatshirt. Is it possible you can be a good pink sweatshirt? No. So you cannot be the body. You cannot live as the body. It's not possible. Because it's not you. At the same time, you should not neglect it. It's like your car. It's not you, but you have to take good care of it. So the body is a vehicle. Just like you will put gas and oil into your car to keep it running nicely. The same way you put food and water into your body to keep it running nicely. So that I'm not the body doesn't mean I should neglect the body. But it means I should never think I am the body. Do you think you are your car? Do you? You ever think I'm the car? You know, sometimes we do that. We're driving down the highway and it gets over empty and goes empty. Oh no, I'm out of gas. I'm out of gas, we sometimes think. Or somebody smashes in behind and goes, oh, you hit me! We identify with the car, you see? Sometimes we actually think, I am the car. So in the same foolish way, we are thinking, I'm the body. So you should live as the spirit soul and engage the body in the service of Krishna, taking first-class care of your body. You cannot live as the body. It's not possible. You can't be your body. It's a dead matter only. The body is not alive, actually. It's just like it's an animated dead matter is all it is. It's animated by the presence of the soul. Your body is dead matter. It's living. It appears to be living because you, the actual living force, are energizing it. Do you understand? Yeah. It's energized because you, the living force, are present in it, energizing it. As soon as you're gone, it simply rots. It degrades into the earth. You see? So if then we must eat to survive and again, else? I can't read this. So anyway, yeah, if you can learn to print, that will help. Yeah, that will help. Everybody else I can read. Learn how to print like on a, you know, when you fill out the customs form, they say block letters. So use block letters when you want to. Anything else? Everyone satisfied now? Everyone's happy? Everyone's ready to understand that I own nothing and Krishna owns everything. Therefore, everything must be used for Krishna, nothing for Maya. I can take care of the body, that's all right. But I should never think that I am the body. The body should not be neglected. It is Krishna's property. You must take very good care of your health. But don't think that it's you. That's all. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
His Grace Sankarsan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.